Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Bereishis, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Punishment of Cain. So tonight we're going to look at the idea surrounding the onesh of Cain after he had killed his brother Hevel. We're going to try to analyze the onesh given to him by Hashem and understand his response to the onesh and the whole progression in the Parsha. So if you look in source number one, in Bereishis Parak Dalid, so we're just going to go through the psukim after Cain killed Hevel, and just look at them inside. So look in source number one, it's Pasuk Tes. It says, Vayomer Hashem el Cain e Hevel achicha, Vayomer lo yadati hashomer achi anochi. So after Cain had killed Hevel, so Hashem says to Cain, where is your brother Hevel? And the famous line, Cain says, hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's guardian? So then it goes on, it says, Vayomer me'as sisa kol demei achicha, sorry, achicha, tso akim elai min ha'adama. Hashem says to Cain, what have you done? The sound of the blood of your brother is screaming out from the ground. And now you will be cursed from the land which opened its mouth to take the blood of your brother from you, from your hand. And then in Yud Bez it says, Ki savodis ha'adama lo so save teis kochach loch navanad tiev aretz. It says, when you work the land, it will not give you its strength, and you should wander around the land. So the Torah says, in these four psukim, that first Hashem tries to engage Cain, and he says, where's your brother? And then he says, interestingly, he says that your brother's body and his blood is screaming out from the ground, and the onesh, the punishment for Cain, was that he would be cursed from the land which opened its mouth, and also he would be a stranger, and he would have to walk around and be a traveler his whole life. So again, so what we're going to try to understand in the shiur is what is the nature of these punishments factually and conceptually that now Cain, as a result of killing Hevel, would be cursed from the land. What does the curse from the land have to do with his sin, with his avera of killing his brother Hevel? What's the connection between the two? And what kind of punishment was it? How do we understand it from a philosophical standpoint? So if we look in Rashi, so Rashi kind of helps us out a little bit, but as usual, there's also a bunch of questions that emerge from Rashi. So if you look in source number two, it's Rashi on Tess. We're going to go through Tess, Yod, Yud, Aleph, and Yud, Beis. He says, "E Hevel Achicha, where is your brother Hevel? L'ikane simo b'divrei nachas, ulai yeshov v'yomar ani harakti v'chatasi l'cha." So what Hashem was trying to do was that he was trying to engage Cain and trying to get him to do tshuva in the beginning. That's why he asked, where is Hevel? Of course, Hashem knew that Hevel was killed, but he was trying to let Cain, kind of come forth and recognize his aveira on his own and do tshuva, and he uses divrei nachas. He's being kind to him and soothing. And he says, lo yadati na'asa kigoniv das ha'elyon. So, of course, what happened was that Cain, he denied it. He said, I don't know where he is, even though he did. And he didn't do tshuva. So the first point that Rashi makes is that Hashem gave Cain an opportunity to do tshuva initially, and Cain rejects that opportunity. Fine. So now the question is, what's the nature of the onesh? So he says, Hashomer achi. So one of his, in his response to Hashem, he says, Lashon temahu v'chin kol hei anakud b'chata pasach. So he's asking God Hashem, he's asking Hashem a question. Am I the guardian of my brother? Fine. So then it goes on. Dmei achicha. So what does it mean that the blood of your brother is screaming out from the land, from the ground? Damo v'dam zar yosav. So why does he use plural of deme, of multiple blood? Because it means the blood of Cain and also all of his offspring. Davar acher she'asabo pitzayim harbe shalohay yodem heicha nafsho yotza. Another idea is that the way that Cain killed Hevel was that he poked him in multiple places because he wasn't sure how to kill, because this was the first time a murder occurred, and he didn't know how to kill him, so he tried different places, so there's a lot of blood spilling out. And then Rashi continues in Yud Aleph. He says, Arura tamina adama, yosir, so this is interesting, he says, yosir mimashi niskala hikvar ba'avona. So the land will now be more cursed from what it was in the beginning. V'gam bezu hosifu lachto. With regard to this, the land continues to sin. So this is strange. So Rashi says that part of the idea of the onesh for Cain was that he would be cursed from the land. And he says, what does it mean, cursed? Even more cursed from what it was. So when was it cursed? So it was cursed by Adam Arishon. But why was it cursed? Because it was Hosifu Lachto, it continued to sin. So what does that mean, that it continued to sin? So there's a Sifsei Chachamim, I didn't bring it down on the source sheet, so he explains that really, initially, we're going to have to understand this, but initially, the ground and the land was supposed to produce trees that their bark and the tree itself tasted like the fruit. And in the Torah itself, it talks about that in the first parak in Bereishis, that really the ground, the karka, the adama, was supposed to produce a tree where its bark and the fruit itself tasted the same, and the land didn't do that. And the idea was that Adam sinned, and after Adam sinned, the land was cursed, partially because of Adam's sin, but also because of that, because the land didn't produce a tree that whose bark and whose tree part, the actual trunk, tasted like its fruit. But over here, also, by Cain, he's saying another thing. The land opened its mouth. It was patasas pia. So the land once again sinned. So now the land is going to be punished for the sin as well as its own doing in the sin. So again, Rashi's interesting and he's a little bit strange. He says that what's the concept of the curse and the onesh to Cain, and why does it relate to the land? Because of the pasuk says, it says, "V'ata min adama sher patasa es pia lakachas es dmei achicham yadecha." So the pasuk makes it seem like the land itself, it kind of opened its mouth to bury his brother. So the land was partially responsible for this sin of Cain. The land was almost like he was working in cahoots with Cain. So the land now was cursed as a result. But of course, you have to understand that, because land is not something that's a thinking existence. So what kind of idea is it that the land is responsible and therefore the land should be cursed? So how do we understand that? And also, he ties it back to the original chet of the land, that just like the land before was a chote, it was a sinner, because it didn't produce trees where the trunk itself tasted like the fruit and was cursed when Adam, you know, when Adam was over the avera of eating from the Eitz HaDaas. And so too, now it's going to be cursed even more because of this sin, because the land ate up the body of Hevel. So again, the land itself didn't do anything. We know that the land doesn't act on its own. So what's the concept of the land being cursed, and why is that the appropriate onesh in the story of Cain and Hevel? And also, we're going to have to go back to Adam a little bit and try to understand it there, but I think we'll put it all together. It'll be a nice idea. So finally, it says... Asher patasas pia, back to Rashi, source number 2, 2 lines up from the bottom. Asher patasas pia lakachas es dmei achicha, vihineni mosifla klala lo sosef teis kocha. So there's another klala, that the land will not produce or give its strength to Cain, and navanad ein lecha rishus lada ramakam echad. And another onesh was that he couldn't stay in one place for a long period of time. So Rashi explains, that the land is part of the onesh. The onesh was that Cain was going to be cursed with regard to the land. And the reason why the land was punished was because the land sinned. The land opened up its mouth to bury the body of Hevel, and therefore the land would be punished. And so too, the land was punished earlier by the chet of Adam, because it produced, it didn't produce trees whose trunk tasted like the fruits. And so too, it was cursed later when Adam sinned, so the land also was cursed for its sin. So we have to understand the relationship of the land. How come we're punishing land? Land doesn't think. It's not a thinking being or existence. And what its relationship to the onesh or the avera of Cain and Hevel, as well as Adam, and what the connection between the two is, based on Rashi. And then so let's go on. So if you look in source number 3, just factually, what's the nature of this onesh so that we can analyze and understand why it makes sense? So Rabbeinu Bechaya kind of explains it. He just gives a little bit of factual information. In number 3, he says, "Aru ata min adama sher patasas pia, aru min adama shlo titin hi ma'atzma kochay lov." So one thing, one of the onshim to Cain was that the land would not naturally produce fruit for him. V'asheni she'af kishi yitrachu ba'adama lacharosh v'lizroa lo titin kochay lov kivatchila. So too, if he worked the land, the land wouldn't produce the way it produced before. So not only would the land not naturally produce for him, so if wherever Cain was, the land wouldn't produce fruit on its own, but even if Cain worked the land, it wouldn't produce to the same level that it produced in the past. So we have to understand that. Why is that necessary? Why is this onesh of the land being cursed and Cain and his kind working the land and having an effect on the produce of the land, why is that relevant to the onesh of Cain killing his brother Hevel? It seems to be totally unrelated to the Avera. And usually we say that when God punishes, when Hashem punishes people, there's usually a relationship. It's the Amida Keneged Mida. It's the idea that a person can do tshuva through it. So what's the relationship here? It seems like it's totally unrelated to the Chet. So fine. So those are the questions. So finally, we have to look in Bereishis in source. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. So it was specific to Cain for the land.
Yes. Yeah. There's a machlokas in the Medrash as to whether it was specific to Cain or not. But I think Rashi and most Rishonim say it was only for Cain. But based on the idea that I think we're going to work out, you can understand why it's a machlokas. You'll see. But yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. So who was this onesh for? Was it just for Cain or was it for the world? I think the Medrash says up till the time of Noach, but we have to understand that idea or that possibility. So we'll try to take that up. We'll try to explain that possibility. So let's just go on a little bit and then we'll explain everything or try to answer it. So if you look in source number 4, so now we go to Adam. So Adam also had a similar type of curse, and the word Adama is used a lot. If you look in source number 4, after the whole Eitz Hadas incident, it says, "Uladama mark hishamata lekol ishtecha v'atocha mina eitz asher tivisicha lemor lo socha mimenu arurah ha'adama ba'avurecha bitzavon toch lano kol yemei chayecha." So he says to Adam, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the eitz, so you will be cursed from the land and you will eat in a depressive state, a sad state. Bitzavon toch lano kol yemei chayecha, all your life. V'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach v'achal ta'as esev asodeh, and also there will be thorns and thistles that will emerge from the ground, and you will eat the grass of the land. And you're going to work with the sweat of your brow, and only through that will you be able to eat bread until you return to the land which you came from. Eventually, you're going to die, and you're going to be buried in the land. So by Adam, so also there is the curse of the land. By Cain, there's a curse of the land. So the question is, what's the idea of constantly cursing man, Adam, Cain, cursing them with land? And it seems like those things are unrelated to the actual Averos of Adam and the Aver of Cain. What's the relationship between the land being cursed and what they did? So if you look in Rashi in source number 5, last set of Rashis, so Rashi says, Arura Adam Abavuracha. So what exactly was the chet, or the onesh, sorry, not the chet, the onesh of Adam? So it says the land would be cursed because of you. Mala lecha dvar marurim kigon zvuvim uparushim unemalim mashal liyotze tarbus rav abrios mekalo shadaim shiyanak mehem. So the land would now have all these insects attached to it. So that was one of the onshim. And v'kotz v'dar tarat tatzmiach lach, and so too thorns and thistles will emerge from the land. Ha'aretz kishet hizra ena mine izraim tatzmiach kotz v'dardar kundos v'achbios v'heinechalim al yidei tikun. So too, the land would now produce thorns and thistles when you plant, and also the items that you plant would have to be fixed, they'd have to be prepared. They wouldn't just come out naturally like in the past, before the Chet of Adam. And then it says, V'achaltas esav hasadeh, u'ma kol hizu. So what kind of kol is this? V'halo bevracha ne'amar lo. It said in a bracha, hinei nasati lechem eskol esav zorei zera. It sounds like it's a great thing. So elama amar kan barosha inyan arura hadama bavarecha bitavon tochlena. So it's really a continuation of the arur, the curse of the land. The achar itzvon v'kotz v'dar tatzmiach lach, and after all that, kishit hizra'ena kitnios or yurakos gana hi tatzmiach lach kotz v'dar darim shar isve sada v'akorchach tochlem. So too your garden, when you plant all your vegetables, will also produce thorns and thistles and grass, and you'll eat them, and you'll end up eating them. And then he says, so all I'm trying to show you is from the Rashi and the Psukim by Adam is that the land was cursed by Adam. And the curse by Adam was that it would be that there would be insects now in the land, there would be thorns and thistles, and eventually you'll go back to the land and you'll be buried in the land. So again, by Adam, so too, it's similar to Cain. And both Onshim were with regard to the land. And the land was cursed in both examples. Adam, the land was cursed, and by Cain, the land was cursed. So you have to understand the difference between the two curses and what the relationship between the curse of the land and Adam and Cain are. And again, just going back to Rashi, Rashi says, and he quotes the Medrash over there, like we said before, that why was the land cursed? So he says it was partially the land's fault by both Adam and by Cain. By Adam, the land was at fault or it did something wrong in creation. It should have created a tree whose trunk tasted like its fruit. So what does that mean? We have to understand that. And by Cain, the land itself, it sounds like it opened its mouth to swallow up the body of Hevel. So again, we have to understand that. I mean, the land doesn't really produce... It doesn't really act on its own. It doesn't have a mind. It doesn't think. It doesn't act. So why are we punishing the land in both cases? So those are all the questions. And then maybe we can also touch on the idea that the error of Cain would perhaps affect the whole world, not just Cain. Okay. So those are all the questions. Anybody have any possibilities before before we talk it out and we try to explain it? So I think the key, the starting point is to start with Adam. So the question that we had was the relationship between the onesh of the land and Adam's sin, and also the idea that it was tied to in the Medrash, the fact that the land did not produce trees whose trunk and the tree itself tasted like its fruit. So what do they all have in common, or what's the common theme between all those elements? So I think there's a deep idea here. I think if you analyze it and you think about it, so the chet of Adam was tied to his ego and his egotistical drive. So in fact, the psukim say pretty openly that he thought of himself as a unique being, a unique existence, and he wanted to achieve a higher level. He almost wanted to go beyond the boundaries of being a human, and he wanted to be godlike. And that was his drive. It was an ego drive. And the idea, I think, is that when the land... What does it mean that the land was being punished because the land produced this? So the idea that the land produced trees whose trunks did not taste like the fruit is that man, even initially, had to pick the fruit. He couldn't just go to the tree and bite out of the tree, but he had to pick the fruit. And in picking the fruit, even in that small act of picking fruit off a tree, there's still like a sense of human accomplishment. There's a sense of, this is mine, I did this. So I think the idea is that the Medrash is alluding to is that had the land been constructed in a way, obviously this is Hashem's design, but it means that the land was constructed in a way where it wasn't the land's fault, but the land itself kind of contributed to the chet of Adam, because the way that the trees were originally constructed allowed for man's ego and sense of accomplishment to pervade his eating of his fruit and taking of his fruit. And had the land produced a tree whose fruit and trunk tasted the same, then man would recognize that everything was from God and that there was no involvement of man in this process of eating the fruit, of getting this pleasure. So I think the idea is that it's not that the land sinned, but it's the concept that the way that the land was constructed initially and designed initially was detrimental for man. And man, as a result, obviously man has free choice. Adam had free choice and he had Bechira, but the mistake of Adam was somewhat influenced or was somewhat caused by the design of the land, that the design of the land allowed for human ego and for human accomplishment to pervade getting the fruit. Because there's still some level, there's some, even if it's small, there's some element of man thinking in the back of his mind, this is mine, I got this. Even though Hashem created this and he completely made it easy for man to have everything and he provided man with all the food that he needed, but man, there's still some, as long as there's some Pesach, there's some opening for man's ego to emerge and a sense of accomplishment to emerge in terms of getting the fruit and picking the fruit off the tree and eating it. So that was the opening for man's ego to get amplified. And therefore, and that's why, when the onesh comes, the onesh also comes in the land, meaning that when the land was no longer just producing for man the way it did in the past, meaning it wasn't just that Hashem was going to give everything to man, but man had to work the land. So that was a breakdown of man's ego, that now he had to work for it. He couldn't just get it on his own. He wasn't just, he wasn't like the child that was taken care of. But also, even in his act of working the land and his act of accomplishment in the framework of the land, so there was frustration there. And the frustration of the thorns, or the idea that they had to prepare the food, all those ideas in the land, and the reminder of man's own mortality. So they're all an idea that when man works the land, when he's involved in human accomplishment, so there's frustration, and it's not pure, and it's not complete. And that was the chet of Adam. The chet of Adam was that man's ego was allowed or had an opening to be amplified. And as a result of that, and that came from somewhat from the land, and the onesh affected the land because the idea was that the land itself could no longer provide man in the way that it did in the past. But man now had to work the land, And he had to recognize, and there had to be frustration built in to man's working of the land so that his ego be in check. And so too, at the end, it says, he's always reminded, that's the last pasuk, Yates, b'zeyasa pechatucha lechem atshuvcha l'adama ki menel kachta ki afarata v'alafar tashav, meaning that man's always reminded of his own mortality, that he's human and that he's not on God's level. So that's the idea of the man, of the land being the result or the thing that's punished with regard to man's sin, because they're tied to one another. That man's sin was tied to his ego and his sense of accomplishment in working the land initially or in picking the fruit, and eventually the nature of land and the design of land had to be changed because the nature of man now was also changed and man had sinned through the land. But now, so what does that have to do with Cain? What's the idea of the land being punished by Cain? So I think there's a beautiful idea here. So I think there's another element of Adama, of Karaka, that didn't manifest itself by Adam, but it could even exist after the chet of Adam and after the original curse of the land. And that is that man can really feel a sense of security and protection from the land. It's almost as if the land can be given a power on its own. It's similar to the way Ovdei Avodah Zarah view, you know, things. They give like powers to different physical entities in the world. So the land itself has the capability and has the ability to feel a certain protection and security from land. And the idea of the land opening its mouth to hide the body of Hevel is that idea. It's the concept that land in general, in man's mind, but particularly in Cain's mind, had the ability to make him feel, to protect him, to make him feel protected. So the idea by Cain was that part of the original chet of Cain stemmed from the feeling or the sense of security and protection that he got from the land, and that was really one of the sources of his chet, or an essential source of his chet. And a raya for this idea is that if you look in source number 9, I know it's a little out of order, I was going to come to this later, but it's a really good raya. So it's interesting, by Cain and Hevel, if you look in number 9, Bereishis says, Vatosef aledes es achiv es Hevel, vayhi Hevel roe tzon, v'kain haya oved adama. So it says that Hevel, what was his job? He was a shepherd, but Cain was an Oved Adama. So if you look in the Lashon, I think I gave this idea, you know, in the past, but if you look in the Lashon, there's a difference between Vayhi Hevel Roetzon and Cain Haya. And Rabbeinu Bechai points it out. He says, Roi Shiyomar Vayhi Cain Oved Adama. It should have said, and Cain was an Oved Adama. Shem Sha'amar Vayhi Hevel, just like it says Vayhi Hevel. So it uses different Lashon. It says Vayhi Hevel, but it says Cain Haya Oved Adama. They weren't similar. They were different, they're opposites. Zed Sadik Vizer Rasha. So he wants to say that it's trying to show you that they had different natures, but I think the pasuk is telling you something different. I think it's telling you that, so to Hevel, his shepherding was just a job. That was what he did. That's how he made a living. That's how he lived. He existed. Survival. But it sounds like the pasuk is telling you that Cain, his identity, his whole identity was an Oved Adama. That he really identified himself. That's why it says he uses different lashon, because he related to his job differently. He looked at himself as an Oved Adama. So the concept that the Torah is telling us is that Cain's relationship to the land was dangerous, and it almost gave him like a sense of strength, a sense of security, and a sense of protection, and he felt that from the land. And that's why the onesh of the to Cain with regard to the land was that the land would now be cursed. There would be, meaning it says that it won't produce in the same way that it once produced for him. So now there would be insecurity in his working of the land. It was different than Adam. By Adam, Adam knew that if he worked hard enough, the land would produce, but it would be frustrating. It wouldn't be pure joy. It wouldn't be pure accomplishment. By Cain, there was an insecurity that now emerged, and that's the idea of the curse of Cain. There was insecurity, and also the Nav and Nod fits in perfectly. It's in the same pasuk. The idea of him moving from one place to another was the same idea, that even when a person lives in a house and he lives on his piece of property for a long time, you feel security, you feel protected, you feel like this is mine, and it's going to give me some sense of protection. So the idea was that Cain had to live, you know, an insecure, the security of the land, his source of security, had to be removed from him. And he can no longer gain benefit from that security in any way because it was harmful to him. And it caused them or it was partially the cause of his destroying his brother, Hevel. So now it's beautiful. So we see that, so both ideas are tied to one another. The chet of Adam and the chet of Cain, and the onesh of Adam and the onesh of Cain. So in what way are they compared or comparable? So in the sense that man by man, the land, the man, by man, sorry, by Adam, so the land itself allowed for Adam's ego to get involved, and therefore the onesh was that the land would no longer allow for that. It would now be, it would be fraught with frustration and mortality and reminders of our own mortality in order for us to break down our ego, because that's dangerous. And now Cain was a furtherance of that, that there's another element to the land. There's an idea of security in land. And that's also could be dangerous for man. Man could put too much, he could put too much energy and too much belief in the security of land, the security of property, and that's dangerous. And that was one of the reasons why Cain was able or capable of killing Hevel. And that's why it says that the land itself opened its mouth. It means that there is some element of Cain that believed that through burying Hevel and through hiding his body that he would be protected, and that the land could protect him from the from being punished and from the onesh. So his relationship, again, his relationship to the land was improper, and therefore he no longer could get the security that he once had in the land, that it would produce for him. He could no longer live in one spot. He constantly had to move and travel. So that's really the idea that that's being expressed here in the onesh of Cain. It's similar to the onesh of Adam. Okay, any questions? I think that explains why you might say that it was for all man, up to Noah at least. Because it could be that it was a universal problem, that the design of the land and the ability of land to provide man with security is natural, and everybody feels like that, but it's dangerous. So it could be that that had to be broken down at an early point so that it wouldn't be as harmful, or it wouldn't be harmful to the level of what happened with Cain. Okay, so that's the idea, I think, in the onesh of Cain. But let's just go on a little bit further. If anybody has any questions, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I learned that man's ego didn't come into play until after the sin.
No, because if you, I mean, true? No, he, it says in the, I'm going to find the psukim, but if you look in, hold on. If you look in the psukim, it says that, one second. How does she try? Oh, how does the Nachash try to seduce? How does the Nachash try to?
You're gonna be like,
yeah, it says you're going to be like gods.
Like a god.
Right, so what's that idea? So you see that, I think the difference between man was that his instincts weren't the same as they were after the Chait, meaning he didn't have like a natural drive for taiva, for any of the appetitive, for any particular taiva. Those were subdued. And also the way man thought was differently also. That was Tov Ra. It's like a different shear. It's like the difference between Tov Ra and MS and yeah. Sheker. But there was an ego there. And in fact, that's the point. The point is that if you just look in the Pshat, the Nachash seduced Chava through the idea that it says, it says you're going to be like a god. Ki yodei Elokim ki biyom achalchem imenu v'nefkichu enichem v'yisem kelohem yodei Tov Ra. So he says that... Yeah.
It says that she saw that the food was good for the eyes, and
so
her motivation
was different. Well, I think that means that she gave in to the Nachash, that there was some aspect that she recognized or she thought that the Nachash was telling the truth, and she wanted it. I mean, that's what I think. That's how I was learning the Psukim. So that's how I'm learning. I'm learning basically that it was really... I'm learning that it was basically a flaw in the ego of man, and that's the idea that the land should have produced... What's the idea that the land should have been producing trees whose trunk should taste like the fruit? It means that if it was nicker, if it was clear, recognizable to man that everything was from God and that he really wasn't responsible for it in any way, then perhaps the chait and the ego of man wouldn't be allowed to or be opened up in this area. But because man felt some sense of accomplishment, some sense of I did this, even though it was minimal in the picking of the fruit... So that's the idea, that as soon as that there was an opening for man's ego, so that was what allowed for the downfall of man, or that was a contributing factor. So now the land itself was cursed. I mean, the land was redesigned in a way where it wouldn't allow man's ego to be expressed in that way. And that's why there's all these thorns and thistles. It means that there's frustration now, that man's ego will now be in check through this process, or through the onesh. Okay, that's how I was learning it. Okay, so let's just go on a little bit. So in Cain, so now what happens? So we have this Onesh. It's beautiful. I think it works in well. And the Onesh and the relationship between Adam's Onesh and Cain's Onesh, I think, works out perfectly. But if you look, now there's an interesting back and forth. And I never really understood this well, but now I think we have an idea based on the Svara, the concept that was expressed before. So if you look at number 6, it says, Vayomer Cain el Hashem gadol avonim in aso. So Hashem says, Cain says to Hashem, my sin is too great to bear. So there's different ways of learning that. We're going to look at different ways. And then he says, Hein gerashta osi ayom mi'al p'nei adama mi'panecha esaser v'ha'isi nova na ba'aret v'ayachol motzi yahargeni. So he says that now that I've been banished, so what's going to happen, and I'm hidden from you, I'm going to wander the land, and whoever finds me is going to kill me. So we have to understand what kind of saying here is he saying. He's saying that my sin is too great to bear, and then he's saying that he's nervous that people are going to kill him. So we have to understand that. Is that a realistic fear that he had? Was he really concerned that other people were going to find him and kill him? So what was his real fear here? And then it says, "Vayomer lo Hashem l'chein kol rei kain shiv asayim yukom." Vayasam Hashem l'chein os levolti hakos oso kol motzo. So he says. So Hashem says to him, "Whoever kills Cain is going to get punished sevenfold." And also, he gave him an os. He gave him a sign that that whoever would kill him would be punished, and to prevent people from killing him. So he had a special sign. So also, we have to understand what's the sign. And then Vayitik Cain lufnei Hashem vayishav beretz nodu kimatzei. And that's the end of the story. So Cain leaves, and he dwells in this place that was east of Eden. But it sounds like he was constantly traveling. So we have to understand this portion of the Onesh, or at least not the Onesh, but what's this response? So Cain says, Gadol v'ni minaso, my sin is too great to bear. And then he complains and he says, how am I going to live? Whoever's going to find me is going to kill me. So what kind of idea is this? That Cain, what's the concern of Cain here? And then how does Hashem fix that? He gives him an oath. He gives him some type of sign. What is the sign that he gave him? So those are the questions. Okay, so let's just understand it. I think it fits in and it naturally progresses based on the way that some of the Rishonim learn. Rashi is difficult, actually. But the way the other Rishonim learn, I think it fits into the ideas that we were expressing before. So if you look in the Radak says, Vayomer Cain el Hashem gadol v'ni minaso, gadol onshi milispol oso. So he says he's saying to Hashem, my onesh is too great for me to tolerate. V'chein ki lo shalem avon amri adhena, v'ein adoma mizeh she'asa tshuva v'yischarit al cheto. So he says, he wasn't doing tshuva here, the Radak says. But he was saying to God, he was saying to Hashem, my sin is just too hard for me to tolerate. He was just making a bakasha to be makel, to lighten his onesh. So the way Unkelus is saying that, he was asking it as like a question. But basically what Cain is saying is that the onesh of the land, and this whole idea that the land's not going to produce for me, and the idea that that I'm going to have to wander, it's too great for me, I can't do it, I can't deal with it. He's asking, he's being mevakish from Hashem, that he make the onesh a little bit lighter. So that's the way the Radak learns. So we have to understand what his concern, what was his fear exactly? What was his fear, and what was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave him an os? He gave him a sign. What is the sign that he's referring to? So the Radak explains, he doesn't explain the sign, but he says that the idea is, of Gadol v'ni minaso is tied to the recognition of Cain that he couldn't tolerate this onesh. The Ramban goes further in line with this, I think similar, but he's more in line, less in line with Rashi, but more in line with the Radak. The Ramban says, V'anachon b'pshat shehu vidoy. So he says the pshat is that this was vidoy, that he was confessing. Amar, emes ki avoni gadol milisloach, you're correct. My sin is so great, it shouldn't be forgiven. And you, Hashem, are righteous, and you're very worthy, and straight. Even though your onesh is very strong, you are correct. So he's accepting his onesh. And he says that I'm not going to be able to daven before you or bring a mincha. So he says that he's embarrassed by his sin. And that's the gadol avoni minaso, means that he can't bear his sin. He recognizes the how bad his sin was, and it's too hard for him. But he says, what am I supposed to do? Anybody who finds me is going to kill me. You haven't obligated me in Misa. So what's the concern? What does it mean? You know, what happened to Cain that he was so scared that everyone was going to kill him? You know, what is that? Is that real? Was he really concerned that everyone was going to kill him, and why? Okay, so I think that makes sense. So I think the idea makes sense. It's perfect. And you'll see from the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it fits into what we were saying up till now, up to this point. So the idea we were saying before is that Cain his relationship to the land was unnatural, that he got this security, this feeling of protection from his ability to be successful in working the land. And he also, so therefore the Onesh was that there would be insecurity, that the land would not necessarily produce for him. He can use any method that he wants in planting, but it might not produce for him. And also he had to wander. He couldn't have any kfiyas makom. He couldn't set up his tent anywhere and really feel like a place was his own, like it was his own land. So that's what we said. So now, and also we mentioned source number 9. I showed you that the Rabbeinu Bechaya in 10, that really Kayin, his whole or a very significant part of his identity was tied to him being an Oved Adama. So now, based on all that, so how do we understand his fear? So I want to say that the fear of Kayin, of Kol Motzi Argeni, fits in perfectly. It doesn't mean that he was actually, realistically, he actually thought that some animal was going to kill him or some another person. It means that he was so insecure, he was in such a state of insecurity, once this Onesh was passed on to him and passed down to him, that he couldn't tolerate it. Like the Radak says, or even the Ramban says, that he was broken down. He was like a broken down man. And the source of his security and his whole identity was stripped. Like imagine a person who, you know, who's so into his job and believes that his job is so him. Imagine when that's taken away if he gets fired. So that's kind of what happened to Kayin. His whole sense of strength and security was stripped. And as a result of that, he was completely vulnerable. So that's the idea of Kol Motzi Yargeni. It doesn't mean that he actually thought or there was actual reality that other animals or people were going to kill him. But I believe that the idea is that he recognized that he couldn't exist in this state, in this insecure state, in the vulnerable state. It was too hard for him. It's like it's very difficult for a person to be insecure, but to the level where your whole identity and the whole sense of, or a very strong sense of security, which he got from the land, was now taken away from him. So in that sense, he was in a completely vulnerable state. So when he says to Hashem, you know, or when he's mevakesh to lighten his onesh, or if he does tshuva, the idea is that he was broken down and he recognized that he couldn't live like this. It was too hard for him because he was so attached to the land. It was such a strong part of him. So let's just do one last idea, and then I'll share with you Rashi. I don't have such a clear idea, but I'll share with you. We'll start the Rashi, and then you guys can think about it in your Shabbos tables. So the last idea is the Ramban. What's this os? What was this sign? So it fits in with what we were saying. If you look in source number 11, he says, "Ovnesh Amar vayasem Hashem l'kain os v'lo Amar vayitin lo Hashem os." It doesn't mean that he gave him an os, ovayas, or he made one for him. Yoreh shesam lo ha'os kavua she'imo tamed. So he gave him something. He gave him an os that was kavua, that was set inside of him for whatever, that would be with him all the time. Ulai kishaya nosea mimakom lemakom hayala os m'es Hashem. He, whenever he would travel, he would have a sign from Hashem, Mor lo haderech asher yelech ba, telling him which path to go on. Uveze yada shelo yikrenu ason b'derech lehu. So with regard to that, he knew that nothing bad would happen to him. So the idea is that the Ramban saying that Kain needed some type of external security in order to continue to exist, in order to continue to move, or else he would have just faltered, but he couldn't live in an insecure state. And it's interesting. Look in the next part of the Ramban. He says, "Bereishis Rabba Amru Kinyan Zeh." It says like this in Bereishis Rabba: "Rabbi Abba Amar Kelev Masarla." So he was given a dog. That a dog is really like an external, it provides man with an external sense of security. So instead, it wasn't some magical sign or os, but it really was a dog, and it was for him. So you see that according to the Ramban, the way the Ramban's learning, this sign was not for other people; it was for him. It was so that he feels a certain level of security. He was scared of the animals. He gave him a dog to walk in front of him. Wherever the kelev would go, this dog would go, so he knew that he would be safe. So he says that the idea is that he had this consistent sign that would always remind him and give him a sense of security that he would be protected. Okay, so that's really in line with what we were saying. So again, just to summarize this last point, and then the summary is that really it fits into what we were saying before, that Kayin derived a very strong sense of security and strength from his identity as an Oved Adama and a success in being an Oved Adama, and that was stripped, and now he was in a very vulnerable state. So that's why he says, Gadol v'nu minaso, either the Radak or the Ramban, they say that he was broken down. Either he was being mavakesh for it to be lighter, or he was doing tshuva. But either way, the concept was that Hashem responded, and he was merachim on him. And he gives him a way to live, and to consistently live. He gives him a sense of external security that emerged from either this os, from this dog, or, you know, from this a different type of os. But either way, he needed something with him all the time so that he can continue to move forward, to continue to travel, because he would be too vulnerable, too scared, too insecure to continue on. So that's really the idea. So Rashi goes in a different path, but I don't really have I don't really want to focus on Rashi. Maybe in a different shiur we'll focus on Rashi. But if you look in source number 12, he says, Gadol avoni minaso bitmiya ata toin elyonim v'tachtonim v'avoni iyev sharliton. So instead, Rashi doesn't learn that he was being mavakesh for rachamim, or that he was doing tshuva, but he learns it as the opposite, that he was still continuing to be defiant against Hashem. And he even says, "You who are towing the elyonim tachtonim, you who carry the burden of the elyonim and tachtonim, can you can't carry the burden of my sin?" Meaning, he was defiant, and he was saying the onesh is not fair. Basically, it's too harsh. It's not fair, and he was angry. He was angry about it. So the Rashi continues, and he explains in source number 13, I'm not going to read it inside, that really there was a punishment here. And when you learn out Kishiva Saim Yukam, it's not like the pshat that we were learning, that whoever attacks him will be punished sevenfold, which would mean that Cain would be getting a certain sense of security out of it. But it was a different idea, that Cain would live seven generations, and eventually he would be destroyed in seven generations. So it was really a furtherance of the onesh. So if you look on in Rashi, maybe you guys can think about it over Shabbos. Maybe we'll focus on it in a different shiur, but we'll try to take up Rashi at a different time as to how he progresses from the point before. But I think the Radak and the Ramban are really nice based on the ideas and the concepts expressed in the shiur earlier. So let me just summarize the shiur up to this point. So basically the topic of the shiur was the onesh, the punishment of Cain. And we were trying to understand what it was, what is the punishment, and how it relates to the sin of Cain as regards to killing Hevel. So the punishment initially is an idea in the land, that the land was now cursed, further, even more so than it was cursed earlier by Adam. And there was an interesting medrash that ties it to the land itself, that the land was responsible in some way, either by Adam because the land didn't produce the right type of tree, and by Cain it was because the land opened its mouth to bury the body of Hevel. So what's the connection between the land and the chait? So we said by Adam, the land itself and the design of the land initially allowed for an opening of man's ego. And therefore, in the onesh, the actual land itself had to be redesigned in a way where man's ego would be in check. And by Cain, it was a different idea. By Cain, it was the concept that the land made him feel secure, made him feel protected. And in fact, that's the idea of the land opening its mouth to bury the body of Hevel. It means that the land itself was almost, in Cain's mind, was almost a safe haven for him. It was a protective element. And that was unnatural. That was actually unhealthy. So he maintained, or he related to the land as a source of security. And a raya for that idea is that he identified himself as an Oved Adama in the Torah. The Torah identifies him that way, meaning to say that that was his whole life. His whole life was the way that he worked the land. And therefore, the onesh was that the level of security that he got in his working of the land, as well as his movement and his attachment to the land, because he could no longer be in the same spot. He had to wander all the time. So that was in order to take away that security that the land had provided for him. And then we saw, based on the response of Cain, that once that security was stripped, based on the Radak and the Ramban, he was really broken. And he was completely vulnerable and afraid. And he was almost like an anxious person. He couldn't exist in that state. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a way for him to constantly feel an external source of security, because for a man to live in that state, it was impossible. He's saying, that's what Cain was saying, it's impossible for me to live in that state. So therefore, the result was that Hashem provided him with an os, and the idea of a dog works out well, because a dog is really something that went with him all over the place, and it provided him with a sense of security, a sense of, he had a companion now. So now he no longer felt alone and insecure and vulnerable. So the whole idea was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to his bakasha by lessening the onesh and giving him a way to cope with the onesh. All right, and then finally the last idea was Rashi, but Rashi just takes it a different path. He says that he was defiant and he still wouldn't want to accept the onesh. So if you look in Rashi, maybe the women in the shir can think about it and come up with an idea. Okay, so everyone have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling in. Have a good Shabbos.